You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at night. We are your hosts. I'm Adam Gardner. Here with me is Greg Skordas. You know, if you ever miss out on any of our shows, just please remember, you can always go back and listen to it on kslpodcast.com after the show's been aired. Just look up KSL at night. And to be honest with you, it's a great way to listen to the show because it's broken out into segments and you can pick out what you like. You're going to like all of this show. There's no part of this that will be bad.
No, tonight's going to be great. So was our show Wednesday.
Wednesday was a lot
go
of fun.
Go back and listen to that one.
And so you can go back and listen to all of our shows. Right now, Greg, you know, I got this alert on my phone of just a notification. There was this article out. Didn't know much about this at all, but it was a Salt Lake Trib article that was titled Massive New Utah Port Project Would Turn Pristine Land Into a Parking Lot, critics say. And the picture of it is like the Great Salt Lake. It is the Great Salt Lake.
Yeah, it's not pristine land.
And one, it's very ugly. But two, I understand like the ecological benefit and we need it and we need the lake. And we talk about that a lot here in the state of Utah about the Great Salt Lake and how beautiful it is. But I was like, are we?
And it's wetlands. It's preserve. I mean, let's face it.
You can't develop this, right?
Right.
And so I'm looking at this picture and I'm like, there's no way they're going to put a parking lot. it's going to be paved over. There's going to be this massive project. So we're really lucky. We have Ben Hart with us, who's the executive director of the Utah Inland Port Authority, UIPA, as it's called, I believe. In the past, when we think of the inland port, we think of, I think, just one kind of location in the state of Utah. That's not what this is.
About this one, right?
Ben, thanks so much for being with us.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ben, can you kind of give some context to listeners and describe a little bit about what the inland port is? How has it evolved?
Well, yeah, and first and foremost, Adam, the picture that you're referring to, you're 100% right. What Greg said, you can't pave over that. So, no, we're not going to be paving over that. So, what is the port? What is it we are doing? So, the Inland Port was created 6 years ago in 2018, and ultimately, the whole position was, how do we create a better logistics system here in the state of Utah? But also, how do we connect our regions economically and make sure that we're developing good high-wage jobs? And I'll say, through the pandemic, we understood how important it is that we're producing and manufacturing things here in the state of Utah. We can't be dependent on other countries for our goods. And so we have to be responsive. We have to try and build an industrial base here in the state of Utah. And while we're doing that, we have to make sure that we are logistically making sure that we're creating a better system. Utah has some pretty significant defects. We put more on the roadway system than just about any other state in the country. In fact, we've got a higher percentage of trucks on our road than any other state. How do we do more of that on rail? And so we love distribution warehouse. We love, you know, getting our products overnight. But at the same time, we have to be aware that when we're defaulting to the road, we're not adequately using rail the way that we could otherwise, then we're hurting our environment, we're hurting our economy, and ultimately we're creating a worse situation for future generations here in the state of Utah. So our hope is, how do we create better logistics, multimodal, meaning let's do more on rail, let's do more on air cargo, but also how do we create these centers where we can have an industrial base, where we can have production and manufacturing going on. So we've got eight of these project areas, eight including the jurisdictional area, the original area in Salt Lake City, and all of them have been developed under that premise. Now, the problem is a lot of the rail in the state of Utah is just around the Great Salt Lake. So we're running into wetlands everywhere. And so we have been very understanding of a lot of the criticism that we've received. We've tried to reach a good balance in terms of what our mission and scope is versus protecting the natural environment around the Great Salt Lake.
So, Ben, you answered what I was going to ask you, and that is because I've always thought of the inland port as a single location, but you said there are 7 or 8 sort of places where inland port or inland ports, I guess, will be. Maybe I'm stating that wrong. What we're talking about here is 9,000 acres in Weber County. I guess I've always thought as inland port as sort of being northwest port of Salt Lake County. But we're talking about 9,000 acres in Weber County. People are saying it will ruin the wetland there. But all, this has already been approved, hasn't it? It's already been zoned?
Yeah, and that's a really important point. And so historically, we have been in the northwest quadrant of Salt Lake City, the 16,000 acres or so that surrounds the airport. But we have been expanding. The whole notion of a port is how do you create more places outside of the northwest quadrant where you can get cargo to and from different modes of transportation. And it's hard. That's what a port is. And so how can we do something similar up in Weber County where you're not getting all of your packages or, you know, you're not having to have all of your commerce delivered from the northwest quadrant of Salt Lake City? Could it get off a rail line up in Weber County?
And rail's already there, right, Ben? You guys aren't building new.
Yeah, correct. You got, in fact, you got multiple rail lines served by multiple different rail providers up in the area. And, you know, Greg, to your point, this land was already zoned. So we're not interfering at all with any land use or anything like that. We're really more of a financial overlay. How do we bring the right incentives? How do we bring the right funding mechanisms to really try and optimize these areas? So you hit the nail on the head. We're not interfering. This has already been zoned. We, in my prior role with the governor's office, we were recruiting active companies, large companies, to come into this area. So it's not like this is never going to be developed out. It will, and it is already permitted to be so. So now our goal is how do we make the best of this situation, develop in a way where we're protecting those wetlands.
Are there already large businesses out there on the west side of Weber County?
Yeah, I mean, you're in Utah, you're seeing market and growth pop up just about anywhere you can. I think we're seeing growth everywhere along the Wasatch Front. As you go out 12th Street in Weber County, you're definitely seeing signs of industrial growth in the area. This far out west, there's not as much new growth. This will be newer for this area. There's no question about that. But our research, as we're looking at this, we're seeing maps that show up to 50% of this land is wetlands. And so the natural question then is, if you're not going to, you know, pave over it, why are you including it? And so we believe we can actually do a better job conserving it within the project area.
Oh, that's interesting. Talk about that a little more.
Well, and so part of our funding mechanisms are actually going to go back for wetland protection. So that's another benefit of having the inland port. It's not like, hey, the inland port goes away and all industrial development goes away. That's not what would happen. You would see it develop. But with the inland port, you're going to see dedicated funding mechanisms actually go back to whether it's purchasing conservation easements, purchasing, you know, secondary water shares for the Great Salt Lake. Whatever it may be, we're actually, by carrying this through, we're going to be able to help conserve and fund more activities related to the wetland protection. The other thing I would say you get with the inland port is we are going to have a specific wetland strategy for the West Weber project area. That will entail, basically, until we understand and know and can protect the wetlands, there will be no inland port activity on a parcel or in the project area. So we have to have landowners go through that delineation process, work with the Army Corps of Engineers, identify the wetlands that are there, and then ultimately those will go into some form of conservation easement or whatever it is to make sure that they're protected. So I think with the inland port, you're getting added benefit of additional funding and additional protection with the wetlands than what you would get otherwise. Natural zoning won't give you that.
Ben, we've got less than a minute, but can you tell us where we are with the inland port right now? Let's talk about the Salt Lake one because we've only got a short amount of time. But how far are we in the development of that project?
Well, I think within the Salt Lake City project area, we are well underway. We are not constructing a port, quote unquote. At the outset, what we are doing is trying to get the right businesses to come in. We've worked with Northrop Grumman and Holcim. We've also started working with like Stadler Rail to get additional rail built in the area, ultimately taking trucks off the road, doing more on rail. and providing better paying jobs for our citizens, all while protecting that south shore of the Great Salt Lake. And we're going to be doing more. Over the next several months, we hope to have some announcements working with Salt Lake City and others in terms of what we're doing to protect that area.
Great.
Thanks very much. That was Ben Hart, Executive Director of the Inland Port Authority. Stay with us on KSL at Night, where we're going to talk affordable housing.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.